Hello, welcome to the Create Magic Podcast, episode number 431. I hope that Wednesday is finding y'all well so far. For anyone just checking this out for the first time, we have a daily podcast I do about the artwork and silly cartoons I make and post over on my Instagram and website, both linked below. Wednesdays are for Weird Delaware Tales, and we're getting back into it this week with a really fun one, one that's been on my radar for a while now, and that is the Futuro houses that live in Delaware. If you're unfamiliar with the Futuro houses, they're one of my favorite little oddities from, I think it was the 60s or 70s, that are essentially flying saucer-shaped houses that are very small in footprint, and at this point are more of a novelty than anything, but it's a really interesting little aesthetic choice that came about from, I believe it was a Finnish architect. I'm going to read real quick from the Wikipedia just to summarize what these little friends are, and obviously if you're looking at the drawing, that's kind of what they look like. So let's see, Wikipedia says here, a Futuro house, or Futuro pod, is round, a prefabricated house designed by Finnish architect Matt Surinen? Sorry, I'm horrible at pronunciation, especially Finnish names apparently, but let's see here. Of which fewer than 100 were built during the late 1960s and early 1970s, the shape was reminiscent of a flying saucer, and the structure's airplane hatch entrance made the house sought after by collectors. Blah, reading's hard. And yeah, that's pretty much what the Futuro is. So if you've ever seen one of these, they stand on little legs and they have windows around the top of it, just like you'd picture in a classic flying saucer. And they are really interesting. I've never been inside of one, but there, like I read there a second ago, only 100 of them made in the 60s and 70s, and two are in Delaware, which is really fascinating. And I'm going to read a little bit about why they kind of ended up in Delaware and where you can see them. The one is still there and lived in. It sounds like you can go stop by and take tours, which is really fun. But I, before diving into the article here, just want to say that I love little structures or things like this that are just so novel and out of the ordinary. And from reading the Wikipedia, it seems like they were made originally as an idea from, I'm just going to read more from this Wikipedia real quick because it's pretty interesting and pretty perfect. So a little history blurb here. The Futuro house was a product of post-war Finland, reflecting the period's faith in technology, the conquering of space, unprecedented economic growth, and an increase in leisure time. That's really funny. The conquering of space, that's something that is a phrase that sticks out to me pretty hard, reading that I don't think we've conquered much of any of space, and don't know if we ever will, but that's a funny statement. I get what they mean. I understand what they're going for here, but anyway, it was designed by Surinen, still don't know how to say that, as a ski cabin that would be quick to heat and easy to construct in rough terrain. The result was a universally transportable home that had the ability to be mass replicated and situated in almost any environment. I love those kind of like very formalistic and technical benefits and advantages, but it's also awesome because they just look like giant UFOs, which obviously was very much on purpose. And I think that it kind of goes to show the impact that this phenomenon, the UFO phenomenon, had worldwide in both a pop culture and just cultural sense. So yeah, I absolutely love that. Now I'm going to skip over to the Delaware Online or the News Journal's little article about the First State's Futuro House. And yeah, we're just going to read this little article and then I'll talk a little bit more about why I love this thing so much. Anyway, here it is from Delaware Online. This was published in August of 2016, so a little bit ago. All right, Rich Garrett's home has next to no closet space. When it rains, he says its plastic composite shell makes it sound like Tupperware in a dishwasher. There's hardly a true right angle to be found in it, and he loves the place. Garrett lives in a Futuro home, a prefabricated structure designed by Finnish architect Matti Surinen, still can't say that, sorry, to represent the height of 1960s modernism. On the property of the Eagle Crest Aerodrome near Milton, it's one of the two Futuros in Delaware. The other is in Houston, Delaware, and only perhaps 100 were made in the late 1960s and 1970s. The Delaware Futuros found their way here because Joe Hudson, a Milton landowner, sold them in the 1970s, and the Hudson family still owns the Milton one Garrett rents. Garrett moved to Delaware when the medical supply company he worked for in Chicago was bought by a Milton firm. He always delighted in owning odd cars and motorcycles and said stumbling upon the Futuro for rent was the chance he couldn't pass up. So that's pretty much what the article says there, but I just love how, you know, the UFO or the flying saucer kitsch or the camp of it all, yeah, went all the way to building these little ski chalets that look like, you know, classic flying saucers in the 60s and 70s, and how these remnants of the campy side of the UFO culture can still be seen today and remind us that this stuff can be fun, and touring a small house that's designed to look like a UFO, whether you get to do it in person or just looking at all these pictures online, can just remind you how aesthetics can play a big role in how we experience the world. And I've been turning around this phrase in my head the last couple weeks called aesthetic arrest, which I heard the gentleman from Weird Studies talk about, and there's something to it. They were speaking of it in the way that they have this whole exercise, I guess you'd call it, and I love this idea where essentially go to your local art museum or a art museum or anywhere where artwork is on display, and you find a piece that speaks to you, and you don't, you know, maybe something you're very familiar with, maybe a piece you're seeing for the first time, but just walk through and find something that really stands out to you in the collection and sit with it for a half hour and don't break your attention from it. Sit there and think about it, look at it. You don't have to like stare at it intensely to the point where you're creeping everyone else out around you or everyone thinks you might be losing it a little bit, but really connect with the painting in a sincere way, or the piece of art, whatever it is. It could be, you know, anything, but connect with it in the most sincere, genuine way you can for about a half hour straight. And notice the way you feel. Notice the way that you felt beforehand and the way you feel afterwards, and how it impacts just your worldview. And it brings upon the state that they referred to as aesthetic arrest, where, you know, it feels very awkward at first, where you feel weird staring at this painting for so long and getting drawn into it. But then eventually you kind of lose yourself in that aesthetic arrest, and standing there and staring, it feels more natural, and it becomes to the point where it feels like you were supposed to be standing there the whole time. And this is something that I haven't got to execute in my own life at all yet, because I haven't found the time to go to an art museum by myself and be able to do this, but it's something that I really want to try. And I just love that idea of aesthetic arrest, that the different aesthetics that we live in can inspire these different states of inspiration or connection or all of these things that seem to help us lead a more magical life. And I love that a house shaped like a flying saucer could absolutely be that for somebody, and that the gentleman who rents this place loves giving tours and loves sharing that kind of novel, weird experience with anybody who comes by. Or I guess that's the way it makes it sound in the article. Who knows? This was years ago, so I don't recommend going and trying to hang out with this dude or taking a tour or anything, but I love the idea of everyday objects, even like of our houses or where we live, representing something a little weirder. And yeah, that's pretty much what I got for you today. Thank you so much for hanging out for this wonderfully weird little tale from Delaware. I hope it brings a little strangeness in the best way to your Wednesday. I am going to be dropping the new Find a Pencil kids book. I did a black and white or grayscaled version of it that I self-published. I printed 20 of them in the garage here. I'm getting them all staple and collated right now, and I'll be dropping them on the site this weekend. So if that's something that you want to check out and would like to be a part of, definitely keep an eye out on the Instagram or here or the website for that. And yeah, thank you so much for all the support over there. I get these little orders that trickle in throughout the week, and they mean so much to me. And thank you to all the patrons who are still signing up. I'll be shipping you out a Find the Pencil package in the next couple weeks here, so don't worry about grabbing those when they stop. I printed some extras just for the patron friends. And if you want to check out more stuff, the Patreon is the way to do it. Check out the link below, and thank you again for being here. Enjoy the day, and I hope it's a wonderfully weird one for you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.